Our gospel reading this morning begins with a rather simple and yet significant statement. Luke tells us that the religious leaders of the day were watching Jesus closely. Now, there is, of course, a way of watching others that can actually enable us to stretch and to grow. As followers of Jesus, for example, we look to him and we try to emulate his life in our living. As Jesus demonstrates compassion, so too do we seek to be compassionate in our relationships with one another and with those in the world around us. As Jesus offers gracious love and seeks to build the things that make for greater peace and a fuller justice, so too do we seek to become beacons and bearers of that same grace and peace. But there's another way of watching others that is far less noble or life-giving. And that's when we watch others with a critical or even cynical eye, just waiting for them to trip up or to make a mistake that enables us to deride or diminish them, or simply to dismiss their ideas or their example. And sadly, it was this second way of watching others that the religious leaders we read about in today's gospel were watching Jesus. Their motivation was not to learn from his teaching or to be inspired by his example. Rather, their motivation was to try to catch him up in order to then tear him down. In this morning's gospel passage, Luke tells us that a prominent leader of the Pharisees had invited Jesus to his home for a meal on the Sabbath. And we also heard that there were several other guests invited to the meal as well, and that many of these guests were jockeying amongst themselves in order to try and secure the places of honor at the table. These guests were so eager, it would seem, to try and maintain or even promote their position or status within the community, that I imagine they would have found it very difficult to hear and accept, or even to fully comprehend the message that Jesus had come to proclaim in his ministry. The message that in the kingdom of God, life as these community leaders knew it would be radically turned upside down. The old barriers of suspicion and separation of who's in and who's out were all to be done away with, because God's love is a love that extends even to the least amongst us, even to the broken and the maimed and the poor, and even to those who had long been labeled as our enemies. And so it's not surprising, therefore, that the religious and political leaders of Jesus' day were not at all eager to hear this message of Jesus. And it's not surprising, therefore, that they would have been shocked or perhaps even appalled to hear the rather challenging parable that Jesus shared on this particular occasion. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, Jesus said, do not invite your friends or relatives or your rich neighbors in order that they might invite you in return such that you would be repaid. Instead, Jesus said, invite the poor and the crippled, the lame and the blind. What we witness in this mealtime encounter from Luke's gospel this morning is a contrast between, on the one hand, a small-mindedness that pushes itself forward and leaves others behind, and on the other hand, the big-hearted, inclusive embrace of the love of God. And it is precisely this contrast that actually stands at the very center of Jesus' entire ministry. Over and over again, Jesus challenged the people of his day to see and to embrace a life of connectedness. Connectedness first and foremost with God, and connectedness as well with one another as sisters and brothers created in the image of God. And we too continue to be challenged by these very same teachings of Jesus, because we too are inclined more often than not to want to go it alone in life, and to live and act as if we have no real need of one another, and even no real need of God. And yet our Christian faith is in so many ways all about learning what might best be described as the healthy art of dependency, and of interdependency as well. We are called to be a people who know and who understand our utter dependence upon God and upon God's grace and God's love. And we are also called to be a people who seek and show that grace and that love in our relationships with our neighbors, both near and far, embracing our interdependency and interconnectedness with them and with all God's children. And in a society that deeply values the notions of independence and of self-reliance, the Christian faith, inspired by the example and teaching of Jesus, seeks to turn those cherished notions completely on their head and seeks instead to cultivate an awareness of our need as well as an acceptance of our responsibility to seek and respond to the needs of others. And this is not a teaching that was particularly new, even in Jesus' day. Even centuries before the time of Jesus, the Israelites of old had themselves lost sight of these important truths. They too had forgotten their dependency upon God, and they too had forsaken their responsibility to protect and to care for the vulnerable in their midst. This morning's reading from the book of Jeremiah was set in the 6th century BCE, in the days leading up to the fall of Jerusalem and to the subsequent exile of the Israelites into Babylon. And we heard in our reading this morning how the prophet Jeremiah, speaking as a messenger for God, laments over the fact that the people have forsaken their covenant with God. They become self-assured and cold-hearted, forgetting God and no longer even noticing, let alone responding to the needs of the poor in their midst. "My people have exchanged their glory," cries Jeremiah, "for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, be shocked at this, be utterly desolate," says the Lord, "for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fount of living water, and they have dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." In other words, the people had chosen to live their lives as if they had no need of a relationship with God. Forsaken the fountain of living water, they had lost sight of their calling to be a community of God's compassionate people, to be a light of God's justice before the nations, to be the bearers of God's peace and beacons of God's hope. Unwilling to acknowledge their need for God and unwilling to accept their responsibility to care for the needs of one another, the people of Israel had chosen instead to pursue pathways of self-centeredness and to indulge themselves in selfish living, which, according to the prophet Jeremiah, would most assuredly lead them to a period of judgment and of exile. And so what about us? Because this prophecy of Jeremiah and this parable of Jesus continue to be challenging proclamations in our own place and time. It's perhaps understandably tempting when our daily news is filled with so many reports of violence and greed, so many stories about terrorism and injustice. It's tempting to fall into the trap of believing that we have no real option other than to live our lives bound by fear and prejudice, beset by suspicion and hostility, and burdened by brokenness and division. Donald Trump has certainly, or so it would seem, based his entire presidential campaign on just such a premise. And we have also seen other politicians attempt to do likewise, both here in Canada and in other places around the world, as they play upon, and indeed prey upon, a people's fears and anxieties in their own efforts to gain or to hold on to power and to secure for themselves, if you will, the places of honor at the table. But our scriptures this morning proclaim a very different perspective. "Let mutual love continue," writes the author of the letter to the Hebrews. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Remember those who are held captive and those who are persecuted. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. And then this morning's epistle concludes with a powerful proclamation and a compelling call. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the author writes. And through him, therefore, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God, and let us not neglect to do good and to share what we have, for such are the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Our scriptures this morning call us to look for new ways of embracing a network of mutuality and of affirming our common dependency upon God, as well as our common destiny with all God's children. These readings also challenge us to look for new ways of doing justice, of loving compassionately, of seeking peace, and of walking humbly with our God and with one another. May it be so, this day and all our days. Amen.